Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Red Sox Precap Podcast, where we review the previous series and take a look at what's ahead. My name is Bob Osgood, filling in for Keaton DeRocher this week, and I'm joined by Shelley Verstrate. Shelley, you worried yet?
Yes, very worried. I mean, coming off of a sweep, you know, the Rays sweep, and then losing, just absolutely being horrible against the Tigers. Not great. I don't feel great, Bob.
Yep, not great, Bob. There it is. Good application there. Sox have lost 6 out of 7, 7 out of 9. Let's get into it. We'll talk about the standings a little bit later. We'll start with the Tigers. Game 1, Garrett Richards against Willy Peralta. 4-2 loss. Another poor outing from Garrett Richards. Went 4 innings, gave up 3 runs, 5 hits, walked 2, 5 strikeouts, and the story in this one was very frustrating, was just the lack of offense and the number of guys left on base, especially late in the game, Shelley.
I've talked with Keaton on the regular, just whenever Garrett Richards comes out, it's just not great. I guess he only gave up 5 hits, but he gave up 3 earned runs, but then he only went 4 innings, which just really taxed our bullpen. It's just, it just really stinks. But honestly, the story of this game, I do think, is the offense. Like, how could we not get to Willy Peralta? Seriously?
And then there was, Michael Fulmer was in the 7th inning, and I want to say they had a guy on second with nobody out, and they had the heart of the order up. They had Devers, Bogarts, Martinez, who all struck out with a player in scoring position down by a run in the 7th inning, and you just had a feeling when they couldn't get that run in, you know, get the guy over, sack fly, whatever it is. Nobody put the ball in play, and just didn't have a good feeling about the game at that point, against veteran Michael Fulmer. Following up Richards, Sawamura, Robles, Rios, and Austin Davis all picked up, well, they combined to pick up 8 Ks, only walking 1, giving up 3 hits in the last 4 innings. They each threw an inning apiece. Jaron Duran led off in game 1, 2 hits, going 2-for-5, also had a stolen base in a pretty big spot. I think that was what got them to second base with nobody out, was Duran's steal. He might have stole with 2 outs, but still, either way, that was a big spot in the game, and Duran a mini highlight. Martinez had 2 hits, including an RBI. Renfroe had a home run. Vasquez 2 hits, so they had plenty of hits. They had 9 hits in the game, but really just couldn't get those guys in. Moving ahead to game 2, Eduardo Rodriguez against Casey Mize. Red Sox won this game 4-1, and really Eduardo Rodriguez was the story. Went 5 innings, kind of got that pitch count up, but he struck out 10, which was a big reason for the higher pitch count as well as the 4 walks. He only gave up 2 hits, and this is the version that we have been hoping to see here, Shelley.
Yeah, this was a really, really good outing for Rodriguez. Yeah, he only went 5 innings. But he struck out 10, sadly walked 4. Like, he was really, when I was watching, like, he was really just trying to, like, pepper the corners, right? Yeah. Which is, like, you just kind of maybe want that a little bit more into the box so he doesn't have to walk 4. But I could see what he was doing, and I really liked it. He was really using, like, the high four-seam fastball to get those strikeouts. I was totally into it. It was, like, really good. He still has, like, a little bit more work to do, because I would love for him to go more than five innings. But again, I cannot complain with him striking out 10 in five innings. It was great to see.
Yeah, and you look at the 5.33 ERA, and it almost feels like he has not had a great stretch, but if you take out one bad outing that he's had out of his last seven starts, and I totally throw out the one-inning game where he had the migraine, he's had three quality starts and then two other games that he didn't give up a run and pitched five or five and two-thirds innings. So he's had five really good starts out of the last seven. And all of the peripherals, you know, the expected ERA is 3.61, his xFIP is 3.29. I mean, they're two full runs away from what his ERA is. And part of that is on the balls in play, opponents have a 367 average. I mean, that's not even close to what his career number is, which is 308. So I think he's gotten unlucky, and I'm sure you guys have talked about that a little bit. But I mean, he is the key to the staff, as I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit more. The other two through in this series just have not been holding up their end of the bargain with the staff. And with Sale coming back and Eovaldi ahead of him, Erod really, I think he is starting to step up to be that number three pitcher, and hopefully things fall into place behind that. But this was a great step in the right direction in the 4-1 win on Wednesday night. From an offensive perspective, Enrique Hernandez, Jaron Duran, and JD Martinez all hit home runs off of Mize. You know, most of those going the other way. Duran hitting an absolute rocket to left. Good to see. And those were really made the game comfortable to get that to 4-0. Sawamura and Taylor, Ottavino, and Barnes all came in behind Rodriguez. You know, unfortunately, none of the starters in this series went more than five innings, and the bullpen's getting taxed a little bit here. Among other problems, these guys are all throwing. Taylor's throwing a ton, Ottavino, Barnes, Sawamura threw a couple of games in the series. So it's just, you know, you want to see a little less usage here from these relief pitchers, and the starters are making that pretty tough, as we also saw in Game 3. Moving on to Game 3, 8-1 loss on Thursday afternoon in a day game. You know, if you didn't know they were playing in the afternoon, they were getting blown out early, and maybe you didn't see any of this game. But Martin Perez, you was out in the second inning. Cora was not messing around. Obviously knew that it was a big game. Had only given up a couple of runs and went to Phillips Valdez at that point. What did you think of the performance from Perez and Valdez trying to save the game and give them as much length out of the bullpen as he could?
Yeah, I was like really excited to see that today's game was a day game. So I'm like, oh, I will just pull up the game while I'm working in the office and just, you know, just kind of enjoy things. But yeah, I quickly turned the game off. Perez, it just really wasn't great. Perez didn't have like anything going on. Like again, like he didn't make it out of the second inning. And at that point, dealing with work craziness and my, you know, baseball craziness, I'm like, I just need to turn this off. Yeah. But seeing that, you know, Phillips Valdez, he comes in again and just, he really gets Perez out of that inning, because it could have been a much worse stat line for Perez, because he left so many batters on the bases. And, you know, Valdez totally came in and shut it down. And then he just comes in and just does his thing. He has been, like, really good. You know, since coming back up from AAA, he's changed his pitch mix. He's gone a little bit more with the fastball over the changeup. He's really done some things, and I really like what he's done. But kudos to him.
Went two and two-thirds innings, yeah.
Yeah. Martin Perez owes him, like, a steak dinner or something.
Valdez kind of filling it reminds me of Alfredo Aceves back in the 2011 and 2012 seasons. Just that someone to bail you out type of role, and he's getting put into some tough situations. It was the same thing in the New York series with when E-Rod went out, and he came in with runners on base and shut it down. And, you know, he got through close to three innings in 38 pitches. So that was huge, kept them in the game, but they couldn't really do anything with it. Hansel Robles came in, gave up three runs in an inning, just rockets all over the field. Austin Davis gave up two runs, one earned, but on five hits in an inning and two thirds. And then Yaxel Rios finished it off. Tarik Skubal threw five shutout innings to get the win for Detroit. Grossman had a home run there. They end up winning the game 8-1, piled on a couple runs late in the game. On the offensive side, two hits apiece for the Red Sox for Rafael Devers, Kevin Plawecki, and Alex Verdugo. So they did have nine hits and three walks. They had 12 base runners, but again, only one run. Not like it really would have mattered, but if they could have kept it at 3-0, would have been interesting if they could have gotten some of those runners in. J.D. Martinez 0 for 5, left 4 on base. Bobby Dalbec 1 for 4, left 5 on base. So another tough one. They lose 2 out of 3. Do I dare ask you who the MVP of the series was?
Honestly, I really don't want to give it to anyone. But I will, you know, just give it to Phillips Valdez, because of just everything that he has done, especially since he's come up. He's been great. So give it to him.
Very nice. I am going to go with Eduardo Rodriguez, and I'll reiterate, over the last 7 starts, you can call it 8 with the one inning performance, he's got a 3.79 ERA, and I really do think that he's trending in the right direction. 10 strikeouts, 2 hits, and 5 innings, but like you said, let's get the pitch count down a little bit. Let's try to get through 6 innings. I hope he can get back to that in some of his upcoming starts. So we're going to take a quick break and then be back to preview the series against the Blue Jays. All right, so looking ahead, Red Sox are going to be heading to Toronto for the first time in 2 years after we've been heading to Florida and Buffalo and anywhere in between. But the standings in the AL East are all of a sudden looking a bit more condensed. Red Sox are coming into this series at 64-46, but the Yankees are 58-49, only 3 games behind in the loss column, and then Toronto is 56-49, also 3 games behind in the loss column. Shelley, what if I told you that a 4-game Toronto sweep would mean that they were ahead of the Red Sox in the standings after this series? In the loss column, I should say.
You basically wouldn't be talking to me anymore. I would just, like, log off of everything. I'm just, like, I just want to just walk away. It's really scary that we were, like, really so far ahead at just how everything has just, like, collapsed recently with, you know, the trading deadline. We didn't get a start. It's just all the stuff there and just, yeah, it's been rough.
And just to clarify, I did mean in the loss column. I didn't mean games back. But the Yankees are heading to Baltimore for a series this weekend, and Boston's heading to Toronto. So, you know, Baltimore's 38-69. So the Yankees, if they take care of business, and, you know, even if Toronto wins 3 out of 4 in what should be a raucous Rogers Center in a 4-game series, not to hit the panic button yet, but I don't think I need to tell you this is a huge 4-game series to try to right the ship here. On Friday, it's going to be Nate Eovaldi against Alek Manoah. And what do you think? Can Eovaldi bounce back after the poor outing against the Rays to set the tone here on Friday night?
I mean, I really hope so. I mean, I really do believe in Eovaldi. So I do think that he's just going to really buckle down and just go after these Blue Jays. But this Blue Jays offense is just, like, super crazy good. And I'm super scared of them. So he has a tall task, but I still trust Eddie Eovaldi that he can at least, you know, keep it close, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think he will step up. He's one of those guys that has been kind of a slump buster this year and in previous years, and in big moments has pitched well for them. So I think he's at least going to give some length to the rotation. Be interesting to see if they make any moves for an extra arm. I mean, I sure hope that Valdez is staying up. I don't want to see him get sent down after the way that he's been pitching, but definitely need to give the bullpen a break in this one. So, but Manoah's been great. He's been pitching really well. Was on the IL briefly for about 10 days. I think just missed one start. So pitched really well last week in his return. Doubleheader on Saturday. You get to call up the 27th man. So I think that is going to be Tanner Houck's return. And then I would imagine that he stays with the team after that. You know, in the two games, one of them is likely to be Nick Pivetta against Robbie Ray, and the other one, Tanner Houck against Jose Berríos. Not sure which order of those two games is going to be. Reminds me of the last doubleheader where Robbie Ray pitched a day game and almost went seven innings at Fenway in a recent doubleheader against the Red Sox. So in Pivetta's last outing, he had 6 strikeouts, 4 2/3, giving up 3 runs against the Rays. And then Houck making his return, who I wish just didn't get sent down in the first place, because we could have used an arm like that over the past week.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And these matchups, like, they're not easy. The last time that we faced the Blue Jays, we did have to face Jose Berríos, and now we have to. And Robbie yep. Ray has been, really, really good this season. There's plenty of strikeout stuff there, and he's really not giving up the walks and stuff like that. And now that we have to face, like, just a super steady guy like Jose Berríos, yeah, it's gonna be tough. It might be a rough Saturday. I'm hoping that Pivetta and Houck can, like, really step up their game, and our bullpen as well to combat both of those pitchers. Yeah, this series is gonna be... This series is going to be pretty rough, I think.
Yeah, and important thing is to just keep the ball in the ballpark. We should talk about the hitters at Toronto a little bit. I mean, George Springer, there might be no hotter hitter in the league right now, has been on the IL most of the season. He's only played 38 games, and he already has 13 home runs, homering most every night over the last week. Vladimir Guerrero is up to 34. Marcus Semien is up to 25 home runs. Bo Bichette has 19. Teoscar Hernandez has 17. Randal Grichuk has 19. Gurriel has 11. That's 7 players that have double-digit home runs, and some of which have not been healthy for a lot of the season. So just a murderer's row there with Toronto with how hot they have been. And that leads into our pitcher on Sunday, tentatively Garrett Richards going against Hyunjin Ryu. Do you think that Garrett Richards makes the start on Sunday, or does it depend on how the series is unfolding, or what kind of a mood Alex Cora is in tonight after losing 7 of 9?
Yeah, all of that, to be honest. I do think that he's going to make this start, because I don't know if Sale or Connell Siebold would be ready to kind of, like, fill in for Richards.
They don't line up.
Exactly. Like, I was looking up, like, I was, like, prepping for this thing. I'm like, hey, this podcast. I'm like, yeah, they don't really line up. So I really think that he is going to make this start, which doesn't give me warm, fuzzy feelings. But yeah, I mean, this might be Richard's last start. Like, I just don't know what he can show at this outing against a red hot Blue Jays offense that would make me want him to stick. Like, yeah.
Yeah, and to kind of elaborate on what you were saying, Connor Siebold looked excellent, but he pitched on Wednesday night at Worcester, striking out 10, going deep into that game. Chris Sale's making his final rehab start on Saturday with Worcester. And then Houck is going to be up for the doubleheader on Saturday with the big league squad. Be interesting to see. I almost feel like there's a hockey line change that's about to happen with the starting pitching staff between Perez and Richards. And, you know, if Sale and Houck replace those spots, and or Connor Siebold kind of waiting in the wings, and maybe a September 1st call-up if they don't need him earlier than that. If he has another great start or two, you would think that they just need that arm up here in general. I can't really see, if they do take Richards and Perez out of the rotation, that they're just going to put each of them in the bullpen. Maybe they put one of them there and release the other one, but I don't know. It's getting to that point, you know. It's August 5th, and as I said, there's two teams behind them in the loss column that are dangerously close, and I'm hoping that on Monday there's a little bit more distance in between those teams. And don't forget about the Rays, game and a half ahead, two in the loss column ahead of Boston. So things are getting tight quickly. But anything else? Do you have any predictions for the series or an MVP or anything that you wanted to add?
No, not really.
Just saying a prayer.
Exactly. Say it a prayer. Like, the offense, I've really been disappointed. They just can't really get things going. So I'm hoping that they can get things going. Yeah. So if I were to go, MVP of the series, I'm going to go with Eovaldi. Like, he's going to bounce back against, come back and just, look really good. But outside of that, I really don't know.
Yep, and they do have a fresh Garrett Whitlock, who I don't think threw in the last series, so my hope is that Eovaldi can go six, pitch into the seventh, go to Whitlock and Barnes on Friday night and set the tone. I'll say that there's going to be a split, and I'll say that, Garrett Whitlock pitches great on Friday and Sunday, and little sleeper MVP there, but sure hope that the offense wakes up going into this series. So, all right, that's all we have today. If you are subscribing to this podcast, please give us a 5-star review at Over the Monster. We have a few other shows. Shelly and I host the On Deck podcast every week. Keaton and Jake host the Red Seat, and Brian and Matt host the Over the Monster podcast. So thanks for listening. Hopefully we have a shinier, sunnier tone on Monday, and we'll talk to you then.